Hello. Last time I was here, it was probably half the size. So you've grown some. It's been a stretch. That's great. That's really good news. I brought a team with me, including my little daughter. The other daughter's with Granny. She said she would only have one, so we've got one. And Granny's got the other one in Carlisle, and with my wife as well, Karina. So do the team just want to quickly stand up? These guys are from Middlesbrough and Darlington, down in that other country that Steve and Helen are going to, a bit further down south. So we're going to be doing some ministry. I'm going to get them up to do some, share some words. So you can sit down, guys. Thanks. So we're not going to do the traditional three following the three P's kind of plan. We're just not going to do that. And, you know, today's been a little bit like that, hasn't it? You know, at one point I was like thinking, if they carry on going to go, I'm going to break out into a sweat. Like, you know, with the exercise. And I thought it was quite key in terms of, you got that word about, if you had enough sleepless night, we're going to make you pay. You're going to do some exercise. For those that don't know me, I was part of the founding team of the church. I think I was team member number 7 after Jackie Matthew and a few others, and was here for a number of years. I came from Middlesbrough, but was with YWAM initially, and I remember being in Scotston Parish Church meeting on a Friday night when this wasn't even thought of. This was just like a little seedling of a something, but with God on it and God all over it, and Iris and a few people will testify. We used to have some crazy, crazy Holy Spirit times and real out there words of knowledge, and you know, that really helped shape the church. And but the one thing I do want to, I think I'll do it every time I get invited to come back. And if I don't get invited to come back, you'll know why. Anyway, is this that Whitehenge Church of Scotland is a child of promise, a child of miracles, a child of healing, and a child of revival. And every time I get up to say it, I want to fill up. Because I know what God did in those early days to get used today to be where you are. Does that understand? Now, it ain't about the Church of Scotland. It ain't about Whitehenge. It's about the Lord Jesus, and it's about his kingdom. However, God's great at giving kind of shape to us and promises to us and identity to us that helps us work within the remit that he's given us. Is that right? You know, some of us are called to certain things. Some of us are called to minister into difficult situations. Some of us are called to, you know, to really kind of persevere with the gospel and maybe plant something somewhere else. So God knows, God understands, God's got your back. So be blessed, Steve and Helen, as you go. And do the business for the Lord. I've known Steve and Helen for quite a long time. So, this is the picture that the Lord gave me when I was preparing and thinking about coming up here. I seen a picture of me carrying, like, you remember kind of medieval times where, I want to say Braveheart, but it doesn't do it justice if it's an English guy saying Braveheart, does it? It somehow doesn't work. Or the shields and the daggers might turn. So I'm going to say it like, I'll use medieval times. Can I just say, I'll tell you this story before I dive in. I used to work for the Church of Scotland in their Board of Social Responsibility. It's now called Crossreach, I think. Is that right? Yeah. So I was working on a unit over in the south side. I'll keep it kind of airy-fairy a little bit. And non-descriptive, but I was working in a unit over the south side, and there was this, I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s. Gary's been really bad at the back, because he remembers the service user that I used to bring out, and I love the service user, but I would take him to the bank, and he'd stand in the bank, and he'd go, Craig, and I'd be like dying, thinking, no, don't do that, and I'd be like dying on my feet, like, don't do this in me. But Gary was doing that at the back to remind me. I love that service. He was a fabulous guy. Anyway, So we'd been working with these young lads. They were out of college, out day services, doing a load of things. Then we would come back, kind of sort the house out a little bit, ready to go and get them a little bit later on. And when we got back, I remember this lad, his brother's in America, and he was studying, doing some stuff. But he started to go into this rant about the English. Now I sat there, you know, for the first like few minutes, I was like, okay. And he was like, and then he took off and he was like, I won't say what he said, but it had them other kind of F words and all kind of things. And then he went, but not you. As if somehow that was meant to like appease me, like, I can talk about them. Oh, but you're okay. And I remember coming out thinking, Do you know what? It's okay. Ooh. Bang. It's okay. You know, it's that whole thing of, you know what? We eat to serve. We'll bring some stuff. You've got some stuff. And Jesus is king, isn't he? You know. So welcome down to the South Country. That was a long input to say welcome down south. Listen, in your kind of early formation as a congregation, when we actually used to be called White Inch Fellowship, before we became an official Church of Scotland, God did some incredible things where he sowed in some promises. And this is the picture I had of a medieval kind of situation. It was just reminding me of that, where, you know, they would wrap weapons up in cloth and you'd have somebody that would carry them and then get them out and everybody could take what they needed to take. The picture I had for you guys was that as a team and for myself here today doing some of this, that actually the Lord was wanting to unravel this kind of weaponry of swords to give into your hands. Now, I know, if you look through history, whenever the British Army got into trouble, and you can check it out, it's historical, whenever the British Army got into trouble, they would call on the Scots. Because there was something about the DNA of the Scots that knew how to fight. They knew how to do some warfare that the rest of the Brits didn't. And you know, part of today, I have that sense of, listen, I want to remind you of some of the inheritance and the destiny upon you to be that warfaring warrior, gorgeous, beautiful bride stroke warrior, to rise up and to use the things that the Lord's given you. So I want to spiritually kind of impart something about pick up the sword of the Lord. It's time to fight again. It's time to stand your ground, not give ground, and start to take the ground. Does that make sense? Now, I'm also, you know, I'm not naive, and I know that we have struggles and we have some stuff that we go through, but we're going to do some ministry, and I'm not going to say that's going to be the be-all and end-all, but if you've heard some stuff today, I want to encourage you, don't be in that and ahhing place, or that shouldn't I. Come and get some ministry. There'll be more. There's plenty to go around. God's great. And if you need to hear a word from the Lord, I'm telling you today, be encouraged and be expectant. I almost wanted to say, everybody stand, but I thought, you know what, we're running out of time. I better just stay on track. So this is what I want to remind you about. I want to remind you the fact that years and years and years ago, and it must be 20 years ago, roughly, when this little seedling of a church kind of got together and started going somewhere, there was something done in those early years that was really key about the Holy Spirit and his gifts. And there was something clear about God birthing something that would have this child of promise and miracles and healing and revival all over it. And you know what? God's faithful. He'll not let go of what he spoke. He's faithful to push it through. Now, I know the guys, I'm going to get the guys up to share some words. But I do want you to stand. Can you just stand? I want us to kind of really engage in some stuff today that is about you receiving the word of the Lord for your situation and where you are at. And you know what? I'm a big believer in kind of doing action. So if you can't see me, I'll stand. I won't stand on the mic, on the speaker, but I'll stand. If you can, and if you feel comfortable enough, nobody's pressurising you, we don't do pressure. If you can hold your hands out as if you are receiving something. And then I also want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes, and however you tune into the Lord Jesus, I want you to tune in. For some of us, I see. Some of us kind of pick up on hearing. Some of us get words. Some of us might even get nothing. I just trust the Holy Spirit that he's big enough and able enough to impart and do something. And then what I want us to do is just simply for a minute, just wait. Let's just wait. I'm going to pray and then we'll wait, because God's going to do some stuff. God's going to turn up with some stuff. So Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we invite you to come with whatever you want to bring. Amen. Whatever, God. We want to be a people that say, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, we just want to be obedient. We want to obey. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Whoa. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. More Jesus. I just see the Lord kind of dropping stuff into people's hands, and you know what? What he's dropping is going to make sense to you. It might seem a little bit out of the box, or it might seem a little bit vague here and now, but actually, I feel like the Lord's saying, it's going to make sense to you. Whatever he puts in your hands and in your hearts to do, God is able to do. Amen. He's never short. He's never outdone. He doesn't get worried when Brexit goes on. He sits enthroned above all, and he's the Lord of all. He's the reigning monarch of the universe that doesn't get phased when wars and strife and all that goes on. Whatever he's put in your hands and in your heart or in your mind, I want you to kind of just say, yes, Lord. Can we all say that? Yes, Lord. Let's say it again. Yes, Lord. And one more time. Yes, Lord. Amen. Okay, if you want to take your seats. I'm going to quickly just give you a scripture that I'm going to call Sue out. She's going to come and share some stuff. And if you've got your Bibles, if you want to turn to Psalm 16. You see, no doubt if you've been a believer for a number of years or even a short time and you've picked the Bible up and you've opened the Bible up or you've begun to read the Bible, then at some point while you do that, God will have given you promises. Either about your own life, about your children, about the city, about your work. God has an amazing ability and knack to give words from scripture that impact life. Do people agree with that? Amen. So, whatever promises that God's spoken to you, I believe today and in this coming week and in this coming month and this coming year, God's going to blow off some of the dust on those words to let those promises start to arise. You see, what God spoke to me about for you guys was, he wants to call you out again. He wants to call you up. So if you're a leader in the waiting, God's going to call you up in the season. If you are a warrior in the waiting, God's going to call you up into that season of being able to fight. If you, and hear me out, I'm not being spooky wooky or out the box or all that kind of stuff. If you were called to go and work in the National Health Service and be the best that you can be, then God will call you out into that. Does that make sense? It's not just about the church, it's about the kingdom. Amen. And I want to say, I just have that sense that a few people are on that resistor bit of, you want seven hallelujahs, the sky painted blue, before you'll do anything, you know, for God to break through. But I just have that sense of, this is a great book. This is an absolutely amazing book with amazing promises. And if you'll just believe what he's saying to you, watch and see as he opens the doors and breaks through. Now, you know what? I'm not saying that with naivety, and I'm not saying that with a kind of dumbness or like, well, that might work for you, Craig. Listen, it's worked for millions and millions and millions of people. So why won't it work in Glasgow and in Whiteinch for you? No brainer. Bit of a no brainer for me. You know what? And God's no respecter of men. You know, I don't know whether I told you the story last time I was here about the guy who was doing something in China. He was a believer in China. God said to him, get on a plane. I want you to fly to San Francisco. And that's all he had. That's the only word he had from the Lord. Get on a plane and fly to San Francisco. Now, I would have liked a little bit more of the seven hallelujahs and maybe the painted sky and the fleece that said something like San Francisco on the floor. However, this guy in faith got on a plane, flew over, was in San Francisco airport, and the Lord just said to him, wait, landed, can you imagine? You know, in the middle of nowhere thinking, right, Lord, wait. Anyway, whatever transpired, a guy walked by his path and the Lord said, now go. Walked over him, shared the word of the Lord for this guy. This guy, undone, radical change of life. Guy gets back on a plane, flies back to China. Now that might sound like, well, why would God do that? One, because he can. Two, because somebody was offering themselves as willing and obedient who said yes. And you know what? It's a testimony of faith, isn't it? It should cause faith to rise. That if God says something, he'll back what he said. He'll do it. Here's a promise. In Psalm 16, it says this. And I want you to go from verse 5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, I want to put it to you that God's already set your boundaries in place. That he's made your lot secure. And you know what? When if you are flapping or in that place of unsureness or a bit worried, I want you to take hold of that scripture. That the Lord's made your lot secure. That it's safe. That you don't need to be in a place of panic or worry, because the God of heaven, the reigning monarch of the universe, is going to back you and fill you and use you. And can I say to you something as well? This is what I've learned in my walk. It's not even about the goose pimps, and it's not even about that kind of fuzzy-wuzzy feeling of love that we get from God, which we all need at times, which is great. But it's about this simple act of obedience to say, I believe, I trust you. I love that song, by the way, We Still Believe, Catherine's song. Absolutely, we still believe. Yeah. And we've got to keep on believing and keep on believing and keep on believing. And do you know what? I'm going to get my little prophetic finger out, because I think some of you have stopped believing. Stop believing that promise that God spoke to you years ago, or God even spoke to you last week. You've already switched off to the fact that, oh, well, it's another one. Or, oh, yeah, I remember that. I want to get that kind of finger up to say, do you know what, guys? Don't you dare. Yeah. You get a hold of them scriptures again that the Lord said to you, and you stand on them. Whether Joe likes it or Joe doesn't like it, whether your boss thinks you're great or he thinks you're the worst person in the office, whatever, if God's given you a promise, you can put your feet on it, well, however you do that, and stand on that promise. And I know I'm connecting with some people in here. You need to hear that a little bit more forcefully than the normal stuff. You can stand on that promise, and God will come through. Sue, do you want to get up? We're going to do just some other kind of things that, because I kind of want to get the team involved as well. Have you got the mic there, Mike? Is that all right?
Is it okay? Yes, I was praying on the train up here, and God put some stuff on my heart. A little bit scary because I didn't know anything about the church. Obviously, I've known Craig for a lot of years, but if he did tell me about the church, I'll have forgotten it. I've got a really bad memory. So I was just praying generally, you know, Lord, what do you want to say to the church? And also, I felt he put some names of people on my heart to give them some personal prophetic words. So, and again, that's a little bit scary, but, you know, I'm just stepping out. During the worship, I had a picture of a cradle, and I thought, oh, that looks nice, you know, what's all that about? And I felt the Lord was saying, and please don't take this as a criticism, because it's not at all a criticism. It's a word of encouragement. And I saw a cradle or a cot, and it was beautifully sort of provisioned, you know, it had everything in there, it was comfortable, it had toys in there, it was a really good place of provision and comfort. And I felt the Lord was saying that that was the place that the church was in, that even though you may have been on the go 20 years, you're still in your infancy, really. And it was a word of encouragement, like, you've done well, do you know what I mean? The provision that you provided and the stuff you've done, in terms of providing for people and comfort and all that, was really, it was a good place to be. But I felt the Lord saying that now is the time to move on and to grow. That if you, it's like, it's a comfort thing, isn't it? I love my church, and I'm terrible for sitting in the same place every week. I've sat there for 30 years, same place every week. I go back there, and it's great, and I love it, and the worship's great, and it's a place of comfort and provision. But if you stay in that place, then you don't grow, basically. And I felt a challenge was to allow the Lord to move you out of that place of comfort and provision, and to allow you to stretch and to grow. Okay, so the scripture I had was from Isaiah 41. It starts at verse 10, and it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And further down it says, "See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them." Amen. "And reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, and the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And this is what the Lord's promise for you. And it's all about him, basically. It's not about us. So he says, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the deserts into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. And when I was on the train, I love to look out the window and space out, and I saw, as I was praying, I saw a wonderful sight, really, and I saw fields that are huge fields that had been harvested, you know, like where the harvest is rolled up into them rolls, and I love to see them rolls. So there were loads of these fields, and then the next thing, there were fields that were ready for harvest that hadn't yet been harvested. And then there was, it went into houses and streets, and it was real pleasant, you know, I didn't know where it was, somewhere between England and Scotland. Real pleasant place, lovely houses, there were playgrounds, it looked happy, it looked healthy. There were places like community centres, places where people worked. And I felt that was the Lord's promise that he is coming to harvest. And it'll be his work. And the result of the harvest, even though that is going to take some work on our behalf, and I'm speaking for us as well as a church, that is going to take some work on your behalf as a church. However, the result of that is people are happy and settled in homes where the families are healed, they can settle down, they can have children and just have good lives. You know, that's what God wants, isn't it? Okay. Sorry, this technology, hang on a sec. So, and the second thing I saw was, technology is terrible, isn't it?
There
it is.
Move that over there.
All right, okay.
Have you got it?
Yeah, I think so. So, and then I had a picture of, like lifeboatmen. So lifeboatmen are people who go out in lifeboats, women, lifeboatmen and women. And what I saw was that they were getting prepared. So lifeboatmen, I don't know much, you know, forgive me if there's any lifeboatmen here, but I don't really know what they were. But I saw people getting prepared, so they get like zipped up to here with protective clothing, wetsuits or whatever they were, and then putting on high-vis jackets. Like these people were going on a mission, and they were going to rescue people, and everybody knew what they were doing and who they were. Like if you saw a lifeboatman, you'd know what he was doing, or a woman, you'd know what that person's purpose was. And I felt that this was the challenge for you as a church, and the Lord was saying, get ready and put on the right clothing to prepare for rescuing people. So be visible so that people know who you are and what you are there for. But, you know, there's no two ways about it. When that person's tooled up and dressed, that's what they're going to do. They're going out on a mission to rescue people. To be marked out as different, and just to be ready. So to be ready with the right clothing, be highly visible, and to be out there so that when the Lord does bring the harvest in, then you're ready, basically, and dressed ready for the role. Okay. So I had a couple, Lord put a few names on my heart. And this, again, is a bit scary because I don't know whether these people even exist, but Craig tells me that two of them actually do. So I'll start with two that I know. So I had a word for somebody called Margaret. Is there someone called Margaret? Oh, praise the Lord. Hiya, Margaret. Okay, so I felt the Lord was saying that you're somebody who looks for beauty in things. And sometimes... that's a really good trait. Sometimes you get a bit sort of disappointed because you don't see the beauty that you're looking for. But I felt like the Lord saying, keep looking expectantly, and you will see beauty in unexpected places. And there's a little plant called a saxifrage. It's a rock breaker. I don't know if you've heard of that. Anyway, it grows like in rock, and it can actually break rock. A tiny plant can actually break rock. And the scripture that goes with that is Psalm 27 at the end, where it says, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And I felt that was for you, that keep on looking for beauty and believe in that little plant that's the rock breaker and stand on that. Okay. And I had a word for Heather. Is Heather someone called Heather? Round. Oh, praise the Lord again. Heather, the same word was for you. It was at the end of Psalm 27, where it says, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And I felt like, you know, for you, that it's there's something you've been waiting for, but it's taken longer than expected. I'm sure we've all been in that place where you're waiting a long time for something. And if you wait a long time for something, sometimes your faith can wear a bit thin. But I felt the Lord was saying, like, remember the faith that you had when you first started. And ask the Lord to renew your faith and your first love. And also to keep ready for the battle. I felt the Lord saying to wear the armor all of the time so that it becomes natural to you. If you think of, like, putting on armor, like tough metal, you know, and you think, ooh, I don't know how I could walk around in that. But if once, when you keep on putting it on and you keep used to have wearing the armor actually then becomes flexible, so it moves with you and it becomes natural and just becomes part of you, part of your everyday wear, so you don't have to keep actively putting it on, in, you know, soaking in the word. It actually becomes part of you, and it becomes sort of flexible, and it's sort of integral to your daily strength. Okay, hope that's all right. Okay, I've also got words for people. I don't know whether they're here or not. So somebody called Graham, someone called Keith, and someone called Lydia. So if that's you, could you come and see me afterwards and I'll share the words I've got for you.
Great. Is this still on, Gary? Yeah. Can we all just stand? I just think there's faith in the atmosphere to do some stuff. I don't know if we can get one or two of the band back up just to do some worship. We've brought a team. You've already got some ministry team here. We just want to make ourselves available to do some ministry. So if you're in that place where you feel like, you know what? Actually, I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy to receive a word and go home. Great. Yea and amen. You know, that's you. But if you want, you know, some prayer, a touch. I already feel like God's given words to me about some folks. I might go and grab some folks. But I just have that sense of let's be expectant. And if there's some of your own prayer team around, then it's not just about us as well. It's about the body being the body and being able to do some ministry. So, again, let's just be in that place of faith. I'm going to call our guys out to come out and come over here, and let's get some, be prepared. We'll...